The situation in the Solomon Islands has been deteriorating over the past 30 hours of violent protests over a recent election over there. Of course, New Zealand and Australia have been heavily involved with the Solomon Islands for the past few years. We recently pulled a whole bunch of troops out, but now there seems to be a bit of trouble back there again. The Prime Minister of New Zealand, Helen Clark, joins me on the line. Good morning, Helen.
Good morning, Wemo.
Good morning. What's the current situation over there at the moment? Has it calmed down?
Well, not especially. I mean, yesterday there was a mob of 1,000+ that basically destroyed Chinatown, which is the main commercial area, looted and burnt markets. There's apparently no food in markets, and most of the commercial people who would have been importing food and essential supplies have had their businesses destroyed. So that raises the question of whether there's going to need to be a big humanitarian relief operation next. A state of emergency was declared late yesterday with a curfew that went from 6 last night goes to 6 this morning. Notwithstanding that, there were still around 200 stone throwers and firelighters on the streets. So it had come down a bit from what it, well, quite a lot from what it had been, but it still wasn't orderly.
Was there any expectation from us that this might be a possibility after the elections?
Well, Solomon's politics is volatile, but we have had 2 years and 8 months since the regional mission went in of relative stability. A lot of dangerous criminals have been put behind bars, a lot of corrupt people have been charged, convicted and put behind bars. And generally, and I could attest to this myself because I went up at the end of October last year, the place was getting on with business, the kids were back in school, the markets were full of goods, you know, and people were starting to get ready for the elections. Now, the elections were held just before Easter. They were declared free and fair. We had a number of MPs up there as election observers. No issues until 2 days ago, the new MPs convened in the Parliament. The person they elect is clearly strongly opposed by some people. There's a suggestion that one of the MPs might have played a role in mobilising the mob, and it all turned to custard.
See, this is the confusing part here, because this seems very different to how we elect a government. When we're voting for a party, we know who the leader is going to be of that party, so therefore we know who the Prime Minister is going to be. But this isn't the case in the Solomon Islands?
No, because you don't have the same kind of party structure. You'll have a lot of people who are independents, and there might be one or two person parties and so on. So out of all the negotiations and talk across a very diverse group of people, you could get almost any result.
So is the Prime Minister elect, is he a very popular person in the Solomon Islands? Obviously it seems to be that there's a lot of people who don't like him.
Well, yeah, that's pretty clear to the extent that they have basically destroyed the commercial area of their city. So obviously he's got his supporters and found a majority of them in Parliament, but he's got his opponents as well.
There's the word corruption being used around the place. Do we have, as you say, we had some observers there, but were we looking out for money changing hands, corruption at higher levels?
Well, corrupt politicians have been systematically being arrested and prosecuted. That job would not be complete at this point. And when I first went up to the Solomon Islands in 2003, I recall a great deal of apprehension among a number of politicians who I think were pretty certain that the long arm of the law would eventually reach to them. Corruption has been a big factor in Solomon's politics, no question.
A Canterbury University academic has said this morning that it is surprising that there are a few ministers there in the Solomon Islands who suddenly have a whole lot of money that they wouldn't have had before.
Well, certainly people are a good deal richer than a Solomon Islands parliamentary or ministerial salary would produce.
Is there tourism in the Solomon Islands since calm was restored a couple of years ago?
Tourism had been picking up. I mean, from my point of view, I was always most interested in what was happening with ecotourism, small scale, from which local people would benefit. The hotel that was burnt to the ground, the Pacific Casino Hotel, well, I guess you can tell from its name what its main business was, and it apparently had quite a lot of patronage. A lot of people were in that hotel when it was the mob started. We haven't had reports, fortunately, of anybody killed, but basically that new hotel's gone.
Is there any group of people that are under threat? It seems to be at the moment it's property and buildings, but is this going to turn into an ethnic battle?
The reality is that, by and large, the private sector businesses in the commercial area of Honiara were owned by ethnic Chinese. Now, many of these families have been in the Solomon Islands for several generations, just as, you know, Chinese have been in Samoa or many other places. So they were long-term residents and citizens. So whether it was just an attack on property, which happened to be Chinese, or a more direct attack on Chinese, who can say? Mm. I mean, the end result is the same, that people have had their businesses destroyed.
Mm. Whose call is it to send more troops? Is Australia in charge in this situation?
Well, it has to come as a request through from the Solomon Islands. Obviously, we've got a presence on the ground with the Regional Assistance Mission and with our High Commission. So the request did come in yesterday afternoon, I believe, for us to send more. The Australians have had a company on standby in Townsville ever since the military presence in Solomons was diminished. Mm-hmm. So they were in a position to get up there last night. Our reinforcements will get there later today.
And we already had a company on site there guarding the prison, is that correct?
Yes. When the military presence was drawn down, it was still decided that among five countries there would be a platoon sent in. It happened to be our rotation, which was there at the moment.
Right.
And one of the prime jobs has to be to take responsibility for the security of the perimeter of the prison. The prison is built in a rather unfortunate place at the foot of a hill, and anyone could toss weapons into it. And it does have a significant proportion of inmates who are dangerous criminals convicted of murder, and have been very violent uprisings in the prison in the past. So prison security is a big issue. However, what happened last night was, because our platoon's been there and is very familiar with the Honiara, they were withdrawn from the prison. Australian troops went to the prison perimeter, and our people became a ready reaction force.
Right. So they're ready to react to any more rioting or violence.
Correct. With the Australian reinforcements that have come.
What's the bigger picture here? Why are we so interested in the Solomon Islands? Is it humanitarian, or are we worried about our own security? What's really the bigger picture?
Well, the bigger picture is that the Solomon Islands was a failed state in our region. And failed states are never a good thing. Their people go hungry, they go uneducated, they go without health care, there's no economy, it becomes a basket place, it can end up being run by criminals, corrupt money, small arms trade, you know, feeding through to other areas which have had great instability, like Bougainville. And if you want to see what a completely failed province of a state looks like, you know, go to Bougainville before the effort was made to restore order there. It just completely fell over. Now, Solomons wasn't far short of that. When we went in, armed militias basically controlled the place. There'd been a state of anarchy, both on the main island of Guadalcanal, and also down the weather coast of Guadalcanal, where there'd been a madman on the rampage just simply killing people. The government was corrupt, the police were corrupt, prison staff were corrupt. I mean, it had ceased to function, and kids didn't go to school, healthcare had fallen over. So we said, look, this just can't be tolerated anymore. And with the support of the Pacific Island Forum, New Zealand, Australia, and a number of other countries sent police and military. Now, you know, up until 2 days ago, so far so good, but it has gone to custard right now. However, we're not back where we were with competing armed militias running the Solomons. Where we are is an election outcome has incensed a mob, and we're trying to restore law and order, and let's see where we go from there.
Did we manage to get all their small arms? Or are they still out there?
With the small arms, look, there's been a sort of an amnesty for people to bring in small arms for the last 2 years, 8 months, and a tremendous number of arms have been brought in. Now, I haven't heard reports of arms being used in the rioting of the last 2 days. It's been more rock throwing.
Does the United Nations fit anywhere into this?
The UN has been very supportive of the regional assistance mission. The UN these days often looks to regional organisations like the Pacific Island Forum or the African Union or whatever.
Which is quite a different situation to the 1990s, where the UN would normally have marched into places like
Well,
that.
No, the UN hasn't been proactive with problems in the Pacific. You know, if you think of Fiji coups or the complete collapse of Bougainville, the UN hasn't been active at all. It seems to be well below the radar screen what happens in microstates of the South Pacific. But the UN has been supportive of Pacific Island Forum initiatives to help restore order.
Well, Prime Minister Alan Clark, thanks for joining us on the show this morning.
Thanks.